Welcome back to another great episode of Comedians in Bed. And as always, I have another good one here for you. Now, he doesn't know this, but I've heard him be himself multiple times on the great podcast of Daddy Issues, which is one of my favorite ones, which led me to reach out to him, man. He's very funny. He's very hilarious, man. I want to get to know him more, pick his brain more about comedy. If you out in those LA streets, then you already know who it is. Everybody, please give it up for Chris Sneed, everybody.
Hey.
What it do, man? Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Man,
and I didn't even know that you was a fan of Daddy Issues.
Yeah, man. I love. I know sometimes like you're a guest on there, man, but I love Daddy Issues. It was the first comedian podcast that I listened to, and I just thought, you know, I listened back when it was just Keanu Tony, and I just thought the concept was great. Like just hearing not the fact that they were even comedians, but just hearing like them talk about their kids and their relationship with their kids.
Yeah,
like, I just thought that was like super dope. Do you just have one kid or you got other kids?
I got three.
Okay. Okay.
I have a trio, two boys and a girl, man. Shoot.
How has been
22, 18, and my daughter 6.
Okay. You almost out the door.
Yeah. Started all over again.
Yeah, man. How is it being? I'm not a father yet. You know, definitely looking forward to it. How is it being a father, man? It just seemed like it's such a dope aspect of life. Like, how is it?
I would say it's amazing, bro. It's amazing. My two boys, of course, they grown now. I'm blocked. They don't even hit me up. But raising my little girl is amazing. She doing comedy now, bro. And it's dope, man. It's challenging, but it's amazing, though, man.
I seen that. Yeah, you guys were doing comedy shows, you and your daughter. Is that something like she came to you about, or did you like, did y'all do it together? Like, how did that come about?
So what happened is she had in kindergarten, she in first grade now, they had a talent show at her school. So my daughter was like, "Oh, Dad, I want to be in a talent show." I was like, "Okay, what you want to do?" She said, I want to sing. And I was like, I didn't tell her, but she can't sing at all. So I was like, "You sure you want to sing, baby? I mean, if that's what you want to do, but you don't want to try to do comedy?" She said, "Oh, no, that's what you do." And then she said, "You know what? I guess I'll try comedy." So I wrote her like a minute set. And she went on stage and did it, got a great response. And she was like, "When is my next show?" And I was like, this is it, baby. This was just for the talent show. You're not booked nowhere. So then I booked her at a church, man. And she did it again for the second time. The second time, it went good, but it didn't go that good because she was crying the whole time.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, bro. And I'm like, "Baby, why are you crying?" She said, "These are tears of joy. I'm just happy to be working with my dad." And I was like, "Oh, shoot. I had to keep from tearing up, man." And she got up there, did her set, crying the whole set, got a standing ovation. She wanted to stop. And then recently she just told me, "You know what, Dad? I want to keep doing it. I don't think I'm going to cry no more." And I'm like, "Oh." Yeah.
So, that's dope, man. So she's your favorite right now.
Yeah, she's my favorite. Well, I love the other two if they unblock me. but right now, yeah, my girl, she...
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And we didn't plan this. We didn't plan this black t-shirt to go chain. We didn't plan this
at all. We looked at some, with the beard. Every nigga look the same. I don't know if I can. Every dude, this is our uniform, especially for comedians. We all wear black t-shirts, bro.
You hitting up a mic tonight? Is that what it is?
You know what? Nothing tonight. I'm going to go work out and play basketball tonight. But I got shows this weekend, of course. So
yeah,
I'm chilling.
I see you got a show with Timmy. When I was out in LA, I had a show with her. Dope room, man. She's so great, bro. I think she's going to be like, I haven't told her this, but I feel like she's going to be the next big comedy producer. Like, she just be sitting there chilling and mama will be watching
and packs it out.
Yeah,
every time, bro. Yeah. They really mess with her.
When I did a show there, there's this comedian, I don't know his name, man, but he kept like holding his hand like this, and I'm like, "Bro, something is up with him." I was like, "I can't figure it out." Then he went on stage and he showed us that he only had like 7 fingers, and I was like, "Dog, like
oh, did he?"
I was like,
joke about it?
Yeah, I did. I was like, I knew something was up because he kept putting his hand in his pocket. And I was like, something ain't right about that. Something ain't right about that, man. But LA, like, I think when coming from Columbus, Ohio, that's where I'm from. Like, I feel like I feel like we hear and we see the bigger scenes like Chicago, LA, and New York. And we just, from speaking to other people who haven't been out there yet, it's kind of like intimidating. But when you do it, you realize it's just like everybody else. There's some exceptional people, there's some people that's average, and there's some people that's not good.
Right. That's true. And that's in everything. Every sport. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it is.
But you know what? How long I've been doing it?
Yeah.
Oh man, about 16 years now I've been doing comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, bro.
What made you get into it? What was that first bug?
You know what? It was at my job, man. I was selling the newspaper. I was working at the LA Times. I was a telemarketer. And they had like a little talent show at the job, and one of my closest friends was like, "Hey, bro, you should try to do comedy. Sneed, you funny." I was like, "All right." So I got up there, did like a 3-minute set, talked about all the employees at the job, and got in trouble for it. And then he said, "Bro, you probably need to take this material about these employees to the comedy club."
Yeah.
So I did an open mic at the Comedy Union, which is not here no more. But shout out to Enz Mitchell, too. He's the owner of the first black comedy club in L.A., bro, called the Comedy Union. I just kept going from there, bro, and it's just been amazing, man. Yeah.
How was working in that black comedy club? Because I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, I don't think it's not that, you know, necessarily they don't want, like, black people in certain rooms. It's like we don't have the people there to put us in the rooms. I don't really know too many black bookers or too many black comedy clubs. So how was coming up in that comedy club like crucial for your growth?
Well, you know what, man, I was there every week. I knew that owner believed in us, and it wasn't too many black spots to go up at, like you said, Ty. It's not too many of us, so that created an outlet for young black comedians to perfect their craft and to grow. And it allowed us for other doors to open up, to go into the quote unquote white rooms, what they say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was just a blessing, bro. I built up 30 to 45 minute set that I perfected by this black owner believing in us young black comedians who couldn't get to the Comedy Store, Laugh Factories, you know what I'm saying? The Improvs. Because it was already established comics that was on TV, you know, pretty doing a lot of amazing things. But that black comedy club, bro, just it was just dope. You know what I'm saying? And when we say just black, I mean, he had white comics as well. But for the up and coming young black comedians, it was an outlet for us, you know what I'm saying, to do open mics or whatever, be on a main show to perfect our craft. So. Bro, it's amazing, man. And we don't have too many of those right now.
Yeah, I know. I want to actually open up my own independent comedy club, just because, you know, just to give us opportunities. And plus, I love independent comedy clubs the most. The only one that I know of is, I think one of you guys mentioned on the podcast, is a Bo Jackson's comedy club. Is it in California?
You know what? I haven't heard of that one. Jackson got a comedy club?
Or maybe I'm mixing words. Maybe I'm mixing names. I don't know. But there's one out there. Nate Jackson? Is it Nate Jackson?
Oh, Nate Jackson. It's in Washington, Tacoma.
Okay. Yep.
That's a dope. Yeah, Nate Jackson is a comedian, if they don't know him. Popular. So, yeah, he opened that up a few years ago, man.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Dope.
Coming up in the game, do you think it's important for especially young black comics? Because I'm pretty sure it's the same in every scene, but sometimes like black comics who are good with all types of crowds are kind of ostracized. It's like, oh, you're not really a black comic. And then the ones that just do the hood rooms and just strictly black, like, you know, they can't really do other rooms. So as a young comic coming in the game, you know, should you just do your material and whoever gravitates to it? Or should you focus on your people because they'll help you get there quicker? Some people think that way, being a black comic.
I think you should be able to hit all outlets. Black rooms, white rooms. I think you should be able to do... If you want to... You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think you should be able to do all rooms. I would not want to limit myself to one demographic. You understand what I'm saying? Me personally, as a comic, I've done churches, which mean I'm clean. I can be clean, you know. I've done super hood rooms. I've done, you know, straight white rooms. So as a young comic in a game, don't just focus on one demographic. It's a world of people out there. You know what I'm saying? And then it you can put more money, you have more chances of being successful. You understand what I'm saying? If you just, you know, focus on the masses and just not one demographic. So my opinion, I just want to go for just hood rooms. You understand what I'm saying? Even though it's comics out there, that's all they do.
Yeah, and I hate that they look down on you like that. And it's like, hey, if you didn't look down on me like that, maybe you could help me like make these black people laugh a little bit more to my liking, and then vice versa, instead of just like looking down on me just because like you don't think I'm black enough because I don't hit black rooms or whatever.
Right. You know, the stereotype is black audience will let you know if you're funny, and the white audience is advance you and put money in your pocket. That's a stereotypical, you know. Oh, you do these white rooms, you got producers, you got this, you know what I'm saying? They can help you get to the next level. Black rooms just set you up to be able to kill in the white room.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Do I agree with that? Not really, but it has some truth to it.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I crushed an all black room in Chicago. So I feel good about myself.
That's all.
Because like Chicago different. Yeah. Like they will they talk during your set, but they listen. So you better keep talking. Because like
right.
If you stop, like yeah. So that was my second time doing that one.
And thinking, it, no room to think about the next joke. You gotta
keep You got to keep going. I was like, I'm not even going to stop to see if what they talking about. I'm just going to keep going. So, yeah, man. 16 years in the game. When did you and when you answer this question, I'm about to turn this fan down just a little bit. But when did you when did you start going full time, and what made you go full time?
I started going full time at 16. So probably like my 10th year in the game, bro. I did a TV show called Who's Got Jokes back in like 2009 or 10 or something like that. And then I got with a college agency, which was pretty good, AFCA. And I just took a gamble on myself and said, hey, man, you know, I got this job. I don't really want to lose this job right now. But I got these colleges that I got booked for. So it was either let God handle the rest and get out of my own way and stay comfortable at this job, or just, you know what I'm saying, just put all my eggs in that basket and whatever happens, because I could always go get a job. Yeah. But will these stages be here? Will these opportunities be here for me to, you know, do what I love to do? So, I mean, about 2000, when I started, so about my 10th year in the game, I just said, forget it, I'm going full-time, bro. And just doors just start opening, man. It building relationships is important too in this game. Outside, consistently funny.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Whenever that time come, I'm gonna be nervous as heck. because everything is on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Do you even get to take sick days? Like,
no. When you sick, you just sick. You done. You can't do nothing. Get you some gargle with some warm sun water or something. Call them
today. Yeah, man, because you can't just call off on the weekend. That's a whole check gone, you know.
Gone. But you gonna get there, Todd. You gonna get there.
Yeah, man. One thing I wanted to ask, one thing I've noticed is that some people say, especially us being black comics, we kind of talk about having the same experience, even if you're not a black comic. Let's say it's comics out of West Virginia, comics out of Georgia, you guys all have the same experience. What is the difference between stealing a joke and just like talking about the same thing. I think sometimes those lines get blurred and compromised. I always say, like, if it's word for word, then it's stolen. But like, if I got beat by my mom and I try to get away and she holding me by one hand and you have the same experience, that's not joke stealing. You know what I'm saying? So what's the difference? I think some people get it confused.
Okay. Having the same premise or subject matter, joke stealing. Like you said, joke stealing is, all right, Ty got a joke about working at the hospital and he had this experience with this parent, this black parent, this white parent, and this Mexican parent, like a joke that your experience was exactly the same as mine, and you work at the hospital as well, and you have the setup like mine. You stole it at that point. That's stealing. But you can work at a hospital, and I can work at a hospital, but our experience is going to be different. I don't care if we're both nurses. We both have different experiences. So a lot of times I've seen comics have the same premise or the same subject matter, but it's the wording. You understand what I'm saying? It's the wording. I just got into a car accident in a Mazda. I got into a car accident in a Mazda. Yeah, and when I got hit, the guy got out of the car and pulled me in my jacket and all my clothes, and say the same thing. Like, come on, brother. Yeah. So we got the same clothing. We both had Converse in the trunk. You know what I'm saying? So, but as respect for comics, they will be like, hey, man, I got a joke similar to that. I don't know if you want to keep saying it, but mine sound like this, yours sound like that. It's super similar. So comedians should have that respect to, you know, tell each other, I got the same, almost the same. You know what I'm saying?
You would think, a reason I asked, because, I mean, I know I didn't steal it, but someone had accused me of, like, stealing a joke, and I'm like, well, me and you write often, and me and you both know we got the same kind of voice, but I could never say something how you say something. So then I was like, kind of how you was, like, hey, I got something similar. You might want to change it. I would be like, oh, K-10-4. But I think the first time I experienced it and I started to realize it was when I was at open mic and somebody was like, they was like, you took that joke. I was like, what joke? And they was like, the McDonald's joke. I was like, what about it? And they was like, well, such and such said that their mom don't have McDonald's money neither. I'm like, nigga, we black. Like, everybody probably just said that. Like, so I can't say that. Like, and I was... It'd be frustrating me. I'd just be thinking sometimes people be lazy and they'd be like, oh, they'd be so quick to say like you stole something, but they fail to realize like we kind of it's nothing is being brand new here. Like we all have the same experiences. Like you just depend on how you tell it.
How creative are you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a joke about moving back to my mom's house, but I don't say I moved back. I say I moved back to my son's grandmother's house. It's all online. So average comedian, anybody can move back to their mama house. That's fine. But I moved back to my son's grandmother's house, which is the same as moving back to mom. And that's all online. But I'm not saying that it can't happen for another comic. But if you say son's grandmother, you stole it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love doing comedy out here, man. How is your experience in LA and what other city? Like, would you like, okay, I want to hit this, like, when or if I ever, you know, do, like, a full year tour or something like that?
What was the first question? How's my experience?
What is doing comedy? How is doing comedy in L.A.?
This is where I started. This is where I'm from. Born and raised in L.A. Doing comedy in L.A. is... It's difficult, especially for new comics that move out here, because everything is really based on who you know. So it'd be hard for a new comic that's not from here stage time. Yeah. I don't know if you ever did Chocolate Sunday, like the Laugh Factory. You might be a 2-year wait list, what I'm saying, to do 3 minutes. The comedy store is going to be hard to get on that too if you're not known or if you don't have a relationship. So it is difficult, but since I live out here, born and raised, I know a lot of people, so it's been easy for me to get stage time. So but LA can be difficult versus, you know, New York a million comedy shows everywhere. Starbucks, at the bus stop, wherever you, it's always a million comedy shows. So LA can be a little different because it's clicks and everything. But a spot that I would really want to do comedy. Oh, let me say where I love doing comedy. Alabama is one of my favorites.
Really? What part?
I did the Stardome a couple of times. Birmingham. Amazing. I love it. But I would love to go out the country and do comedy, like somewhere in London, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of us out there in London. And I know a lot of comics who've been in London and did comedy. And that's one place I've never been. I've never been out the country and did comedy at all. So that's on my bucket list.
When it comes to like doing, like I'll be seeing like comics do comedy out of the country. And my main concern is like, I guess it'll be the same here in the States. It's like, are they going to understand what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they going to know what I'm talking about? Like, I think I would love to do it just for the adrenaline rush to see if they even going to laugh mm-hmm. to get what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah. Depending on where you go. I mean, I heard China, they, but on maybe in an Air Force base or something like that, where a lot of us are stationed, but London for sure, bro. It's a lot of me and you.
That is when you see real comedy growing. When you see comedy growing as much as it's growing with, like, you know, the Instagram reels and everything like that. Do you think it's harder to record specials that are an hour and requiring people to sit down and give them, you know, your time when our attention span, not just because of reels and IG, but it's just very shorter now.
I think social media kind of made it, especially when you can go watch all these specials on YouTube for free. We're giving away a lot of material now. You know what I'm saying? So it can be difficult, I believe, with the special. You got to give a lot of stuff out for free because it's a million comedians now. It's more comedians than a history of comedy, bro, out there right now. If you look at social media all around, like Matt Rife, a bunch of crowd work, just, and then you build that audience, now you can go sell out a show. You understand what I'm saying? So it might be a little easier to build an audience now because of social media and get people to come out to see you. Because before, you had to be on TV. You have to do a hit movie to build that audience. But now we got so many different platforms to build an audience where we can go headline and tour all over. So, the attention spans is online, but you can get people to come out to see you on time. Just got to build that following. You know what I'm saying?
With everything, one thing I learned before I start posting reels, I'm not done with it. Well, I might be. I got a few more episodes. I've been studying Def Comedy Jam, and all the episodes is on Prime, and I've been studying them. And I remember Cedric the Entertainer was up there, and he was hosting. I was like, oh, I know these jokes. He did this on Kings of Comedy, you know. And I feel like some people don't like to post their reels or their jokes because they like, oh, somebody gonna come, and they don't want to come now because they already know my material. I know that you don't mind posting yours, but the question is, how do you know when it's time to stop telling a joke?
How do I know when to stop? Well, when you gotta have the audience fill it, completing a joke for you before you even get through it. When they say your punchline before you, okay, it might be time to like throw it in the bag. Or, I mean, you got 5 million views off of a joke, you know what I'm saying? But I would never throw a joke away. I would never throw a joke away. Even if I got an hour of material and then I had a 30 that I was saying before that, I would never throw a joke away because maybe I can always come back to it in a desperate situation. But if you got a comedy special, if you're Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Dion Cole, you know, with a Netflix special, oh, that stuff is done, bro. You gotta start all over. You gotta start all over. You ain't been all around the world yet. You know what I'm saying? So I won't. I would never tell a comedian, throw it away. Figure out another way how to say it. You know what I'm saying? If you're not famous, if it's not on a platform where millions of people came to see you, if you're not on tour, don't throw it away.
Because I was about to ask you another question. So what I'm hearing you say is if you don't have that big enough platform, whatever jokes you have, bring it when you do get on that platform.
Yes.
Okay.
Look, I don't have a Netflix special, right? If Netflix called me today, what I said 8 years ago is going on there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I said 12 years ago is going on that special. Nobody knows me. It's a whole world out there that ain't seen me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. What I tell people, like my peers out here, I tell them usually when they start getting in panic mode and be like, oh, I don't want nobody to see my stuff, I just listen and I'll be like, okay. I ask them, what's your favorite movie? And let's say their favorite movie is Friday. And I'm like, the last time you watched Friday, did you laugh? And I say, yeah. And I'll be like, all right. So if they already seen it and it made them laugh, that's what's going to make them come. And they still going to laugh. So what you tripping for?
Right, right.
I think sometimes we just be too much in our heads. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't heard that Jay-Z mm-hmm. album thousands of times, but we still listen to it. Still gets us in that mood that we need to get into, you know?
Right. Only thing, jokes work different, though. The music and stand-up, two different things. Like, we go to a Beyonce concert, we're going to hear everything she said a million times. But comedy, fortunately, we don't want to hear that material. But I will say that as a comedian, you should be always writing. Always coming up with something new, trying it out. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you're going to perfect the set. So when you go on the road or when you're getting paid to come do something and it's a new audience, you have a set that's perfected. But always keep trying new stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Stay creative and sharp.
I write every day. I try to, every Monday, there's a good mic on here on Mondays. I try to do all new jokes if I can. If not, probably like one or two aren't new. They probably, I just told them last week, but I just try to do like new joke one day. Just try to keep it fresh and all that type of stuff.
That's dope.
And basically to get them out, because like here, I mean, we got a mic every day, but it ain't like we got more than one mic every day. So you better hope you get on that mic.
It's one mic every day.
Yeah, you better hope you get on that mic and you better hope there's an audience there to laugh and hope that is good. So that's another reason why I do it. Next question.
So you're born and raised in Columbus, right, Ty?
Yeah, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Yep.
And how long you been doing comedy?
Going on 4 years in October.
Going on four. Okay.
Yeah. I'm still a baby.
So that's still a baby. 4 years. He's still in a baby. Okay.
Somebody said something to me that just blew my mind. It was it's an OG out here. Did he tell me or did somebody else tell me? I can't remember. I want to say Brian told me, but he was like, he was like, how long have you been doing comedy? And I told him, he was like, that's how old you are. Like in comedy, like you're 4 years old. You know what I'm saying? So that really helped me a lot, because sometimes like you be, oh, people say I'm funny. Like, why ain't they booking me? Da, da, da. And it could be X, Y, Z, but you also got to remember how old you are. Like, you're not old enough to be headlining yet.
Right.
For a whole hour. You know what I'm saying? So that has really helped me a lot, which brings me to my next question, man. You being born and raised in LA, you see so many stars come, or you see so many stars that are in LA and they blow up. How do you remain humble around, you know, you got this guy who a couple of years probably wasn't, nobody knew, now they on TV, and you know, you still trying to get your name out there on the level that you desire to have it on. How do you remain humble and not get jealous or envious of people when you know you just as funny or, you know, funnier than them?
Okay, so... You know what, man? I think I just have a humbling spirit. I've always been that way. So Tiffany Haddish from LA, right? Took off. And I got a lot of close friends that are doing very well. And they're on platforms that I wish about. Barry Brewer, my boy Ron G, and these are people I'm super tight with. Tony Baker. So I am happy for everyone's success, and I had to get to the point of my life and my career that what was for me is for me. You understand what I'm saying? So it can be discouraging, because you can look at your peers and say, hey, man, what's up? Why I'm not doing this and why I'm not doing that? Until I start realizing God has another path for me, And I will still reach out and try to help somebody else, even though they might be doing better than me, quote unquote, or whatever the world might think. I will still, you know what I'm saying, still try to look out for someone. So I had to just really hone in and say, what's for me is for me. You know what I'm saying? And I used to worry about that too, bro. I'm not perfect. Hey, Ty, I used to, all my friends, I used to see them, all these followers on Instagram, like, man, how you get a million? How you selling those shows? Yeah. I've been doing this. I'm good. My material good. But you got to remember, everybody's path is different, man. And until you, that really gets in your spirit and your heart, that will keep you humble, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got to appreciate the work that you're getting too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I might not have done that over there, but I did this, and this was amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't get the national commercial, but I got this commercial, which led to X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying?
That is true. So, yeah. I always try to be transparent with myself. If I am feeling jealous or envious, I'll be like, all right, let it feel it for like a minute or two, and I'll be like, okay, why are we feeling this? You know what I'm saying? Right. Then if they're in your close circle, I feel like if God is blessing someone in your close circle, then you know you're next because you're around the vicinity or whatever. And then I also try to remember that one thing that's really been helping me out, I think just because of the scene that I am, I'm not like the most popular in the scene. Like, everybody know me, but I'm not the most popular. Sometimes I get kind of left out of things, and I'll be like, I don't take it to heart, but I'll be like, oh, dang, like, okay, that wasn't for me. And then I'll be like, dang, what if that's the biggest that their platform ever gets, but mine is like so much. So I try to keep that in mind and keep me humble.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But I think the first thing for sure for me is like being honest. Like, why are you jealous?
Right. Why are you jealous?
Why are you jealous, man? Yeah.
Right.
But I love seeing I love doing comedy. I love seeing other Black people make it and win. What do you think the state of comedy is going forward? You know, with we have so much crowd work now. We have women that are coming and they're about to take, you know, over and become number one in comedy. Like, where do you think the state of comedy is going moving forward in the future?
Oh man, from the looks of things, bro, comedy is way more universal now, you know what I'm saying, because of the platforms we have. I think comedy is moving into stand-up comedy alone won't put you, I don't think, if as a comedian, if you just do stand-up, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah.
Just doing stand-up isn't enough, in my opinion, bro. So it's getting to a point to where you need to have a following. You need to do something outside of the box on social media. You understand what I'm saying? Having just a set nowadays is not it. You need to show that you can act. You need to show that you can be you can write a pilot or something. I was looking at this guy. He has a big following, and he's funny. His name is Mojo Brooks. And Desi Banks doing a bunch of sketches. And now they're stand-up comedians. Yeah. Now, I don't know them personally. I don't know if they were doing stand-up before. But if you go on their social media, doing a bunch of sketches, which portrays and shows their personality, bro. So I just think that's just where it is right now. And then you go see these people, they can just talk about whatever because you have this fan base that loves your social media and your silly and funny sketches, and you can do so. I think it's weeding out all the producers and people that love, they come looking for you once you have this following because they don't, it's half the work that they have to do. So
yeah.
To all the comedians out there, man, just get your social media because that's where we at, bro. That's
just, yeah. No, I'm glad that you said that. I tell people all the time, like, try to get into acting and also do other things like improv, screenwriting, things of those nature, for the simple fact because, you know, those things could help you move along here. And my fault. We lost Chris here for a little bit. There we go. There you go. You good. You good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you good. My fault. I meant to tell you beforehand. If we lose connection, just I'll still be here. Just log back on. You good.
Okay. Got you.
Oh, but nah, what I was saying was I was happy that you brought that up, because I tell people all the time out here, man, always try to do acting and screenwriting.
Yeah.
Because those things can help you get in the door as well. I think what helped me notice that I used to be a news and sports broadcaster. And when I was interning at a news station up here, they was like, yeah, the more you know how to do, the easier it will be for you to find work. So you better know how to edit. You better know how to write. You better know how to shoot right. Your own stuff, all that. And so when I came into comedy, I was like, oh, I already know how to do half the stuff y'all struggling with. I just got to get the writing and the funny part down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good. You know, so I think that's very important. I definitely want to be like
a news and sports broadcaster, bro.
Yeah.
You went to school for that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, Ty. See,
yeah,
I ain't know none of this. That's dope. That's
yeah. Dope. So I used to. Do you watch College Game Day?
Yep.
So when Kirk Herbstreit started off, he started off at a news station up here. I interned at that news station. It used to be the best, like one of the best local news stations in the nation. I don't know that anymore because it's not privately owned. It got bought out. But yeah, I did that. And I used to do like, if you ever watch like college football games, you know, when they come back from like commercials and they'll have it like on a helmet or a player. I used to be like that camera guy on the sideline and stuff. I used to do that. Then I took a job down in Texas, and it was a fairly new news station. So they didn't really know. It just didn't work. So I left like right away as soon as I got there. And ever since then, I've been back. Mm-hmm. I just been like, all right, what do you really want to do? You know, so then I started doing acting. I started learning to taught myself how to screenwrite. And I just started doing comedy. And I mean, I still want to do like the journalism stuff, but not in a sense of like local news. Cause like they kind of tell you what to talk about. And I don't like that. If I had to do it now, I like documentaries. So I would probably do like a document, a lot of documentaries. That's what I would do. But yeah, I really want to write like a movie about, Yeah. I really want to write a movie about comedy. Cause I don't feel like a lot of people understand it.
You should.
You know what I'm saying? Like how important like open mics are and stuff like that. And I feel like one, it would be a good movie. Cause we don't have enough, like just dumb, silly, funny black movies. Like not on a consistent basis like these white movies do. So I think that would be really dope. Or is there anything that you like work on when you write? Do you write? I'm assuming that you do.
I do write. And it's funny. My writing is different, bro. Like all my material I come up with in a shower. The showers are like that's where my mental space. I take long showers and that's where I write my material. Then I go do a show. Unfortunately, I don't do a lot of open mics. So me working on material comes from booking a private gig. Yeah. And I hope the people who booked me ain't watching this, because they're like, wait a minute, he's practicing up here? Working on taking a set to the comedy club. Yeah. So I do a lot of private gigs, bro. And that's how, and I work on my material, man. And
how is that? How is that? I meant like writing like screen. Do you write like scripts and stuff?
You know what? I wrote two of them.
Okay.
And I was under pressure when I did it.
Okay.
I had a known lady call me and say, hey, they looking for a black writer for this new TV show. This is my first script I wrote. It was like, do you have a script? And of course, what I'm gonna say, yes, I do have a script. When did you they said, and this was on a Friday, bro. They said, can you send by Sunday? I'm like, oh shit, y'all need it. Okay, yeah, I got you. I'm just out of town. Bro, I went on it and paid for what's that writing program?
ChatGPT.
No, not chat. No, they didn't have chat then. I would have had five scripts. I forgot that program. I paid, it was like $200-$300.
Final Draft?
I don't know. Final Draft. I paid for that, right? Uh-huh. That day. wrote a 30-page script, which it had something to do with my set, moving back to my son's grandmother's house, sharing a room with my son. I wrote a whole TV show on that and sent it in, bro. And I did that within 48 hours while having my daughter with me and everything, bro. I did it, sent it in, impressed, amazed. Never heard nothing back from him, but I sent it in.
Yeah,
so that
was yeah.
my first script.
Man. You got it done. You got it done. I got it done. Hey, I'll mess with that. Hey, I feel like when you, I feel like when you just are a natural born writer, whether you're a comedian or not, like when somebody be like, "Hey, you got a tight deadline," you can get it done.
Easy.
You can get
easy.
It.
Easy. Well, NBC can call me right now. I encourage you, right? Yes. When we come on in, can you write an episode? And I will write that episode.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But I think that is important because we do got to have those other avenues, man. You can't just making money off comedy alone ain't gonna get it, especially nowadays. It's not.
No.
It's not. No. It's not.
Got to be versatile in the business, man.
Do you still dream about like well, I don't know if this was your dream, but like I know back in the day, like, you know, you get a big joke and they'll make a whole sitcom off the joke. Like, do you still dream about that? Is that still even doable these days? Because like most things on streaming networks.
That's done with. But my dream, Ty, my first initial dream was to be in the NBA.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody, and you follow me on Instagram, I'll be doing the shot of the days. I'm throwing the ball backwards and they do go in and it's not edited. And everybody think it's edited, but they don't know the time and patience I put out there to make that shot go in when I was shooting for 35 minutes backwards, bing, sweating. And when they go in, I make it look like it was the first time. I took all that other stuff out, put that in. That was my first dream. But I always wanted to be on TV. I always wanted a TV show. Mm-hmm. I wanted to act. That was my first, that was my dream before stand-up. So I got into stand-up saying, oh, this will get me closer to acting faster. Then I fell in love with stand-up. Mm-hmm. But I've always wanted a TV show, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I can have one on my own, just put it on YouTube. I can actually, that's the blessing about it, man. You can,
whatever
it is you want to do, you can just do it.
Yeah, like when you see I think the two for me was Donald Glover, because I really do like look up to him, man. He's very, very, I think he's my generation of Jamie Foxx. Like he's very, very talented. Oh, I really wish he would get back into comedy. Like he only got one stand-up special. I'm like, we need more. That's just me being selfish. But then also Issa Rae, after I saw Insecure, and I'm like, dang, you put all this together by yourself even before it got on HBO. I was like, okay, what am I not doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be stuff like that'd be like, you can kind of, you know, control your own destiny. Yeah, you need some help, some luck here and there, blah, blah, blah. But it's really in your own hands, and in due time, when it's, you know, your time or whatever, you know, God will bless you with those opportunities.
Right.
With the sitcoms that we have now, like Mike Epps with the Upshaws on Netflix, Jared Carmichael, I kind of see like them going in a different way, not being politically correct, and I actually like it, like Miss Pat show and everything like that.
Right.
When you see stuff like that, does that encourage you that, you know, as a writer, you don't have to be as tight with your script? You could be a little bit more loose, show more, more so of you.
Yes, very encouraging, bro. Like, now, we don't really have to follow the format. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you desire, or whatever it is you want to write, whatever you find that is funny or it's just put it out there, bro. You saw before Insecure, Issa Rae had that the mini show that was on YouTube. It was called
miniseries.
Something of a black girl. The miniseries.
Awkward black girl.
So dope. Awkward black girl. One camera, two cameras, or whatever. And it put her at a plateau where they wanted her. Yeah. I say, now just go for whatever you want to do, what you know. I know a guy that does a comedy show and does not follow none of the rules of a comedy show. He has people throwing food on stage. brings people from the audience, and he sells out every time. It's a Hispanic, a Latin guy. Don't follow the rules. I'm doing it how I want to do it.
Yeah, so, that's dope. That is dope.
Yeah, bro.
And I love Issa because, there were so many talented individuals that she worked with. Two comedians, Amanda Seale, who I didn't know was a comedian at the time, and is very, 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 very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And Yvonne Orji, mm-hmm. who I really do like. I like a lot. And her first special was funny. The second one I got to watch again. I couldn't really get into that one, but the first one was incredible.
Yeah.
Are there any stages that you think about that you'd be like, you know what, when I get on this stage and tell comedy for the first time, I will feel like I made it, if you haven't already?
Let's see what stages. Me being from Inglewood, one only stage I want to hit and that I want to do is the Great Western Forum.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to do the Forum because I grew up in Inglewood. I was a big Laker fan, and I'm from here. I want to perform at the Forum, and for anyone that's an Inglewood resident, they can come to my show for free. That's my dream right there. Mm-hmm.
Wait,
if you're from Inglewood, you can purchase free tickets to come see me perform, and I want to sell out Great Western Forum, bro. That's the dream of mine.
I seen Joe Coy have a show there. At the forum. Joe Coy
sold the Forum out. Yes, he did.
Man. That's sweet.
When I saw that special, amazing.
Yeah. So. I think when I saw Little Rail do a special out there in Inglewood, like at a high school. I was like,
This
was before COVID. I was like, you know, before the apartment shows, the outside shows. I don't know if people was doing it like that before, but I was like, this is different. I like this. This is different. I like the way that whole
thing. Ain't from Chicago. Worked.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna do mine at my high school there.
Right.
Sure, that's easy money right there.
At your high school.
Yes, do it at my high school. And shout out to Eastmore Academy, because I don't know about in LA, but like out here in Columbus, man, we so broke. We haven't had air or heat in none of the schools. I can't tell you when the last time we had it. Like even old people was like, "Oh, y'all be okay." I'm like, "What?" So we just got it. So I'll be
hilarious. Damn.
So I feel. Yeah, I feel more inclined to do it now.
Lil Bow Wow and come back and put some air and heat in the classrooms.
Let me tell you about Lil Bow Wow, bro. Everybody and they mama out here swear they related to Lil Bow Wow. And I remember the day, I don't know where he did it at, but I remember the day Lil Bow Wow said he was from Atlanta. It was gray skies and raining over here, bro. Everybody was depressed. but I get it. Like, why would you leave Columbus and claim Columbus, bro? I wouldn't do it neither. Him and Lotto, bro, them the two famous people from Columbus, bro, that's not asking.
Right.
Don't claim us at all. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all, man. But, Chris, man, as we start to wrap things up, man, tell me who would be on your Mount Rushmore for comedy.
Ooh, let me see. I'm a Cedric Entertainer. I'm going with Louis C.K. I'm going with Eddie Murphy. And I'm going with Bernie Mac.
I love all the choices. I love the first and last one. I feel like Cedric is so underrated. I don't know if I'm going to describe this right. For his joke writing skills, people they go up there, they talk about their life, but I feel like he don't really talk about his life all that much. It's just strictly jokes.
I
think that is so
dope. He remind me of that old that uncle that just got all these funny stories about you know what I'm saying? All these different situations, you know?
Yeah.
And Sid is one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then another thing, a reason why I say Bernie is because I always tell people the first comedian that I ever, like, witnessed was my mom. Like, my mom is a comedian. She just don't be on stage. But my mom is very hilarious. Like, besides God, this is where I get the gift from. And my mom would always do, like, Bernie Mac impressions and, like, would be, like, spot on. Like, and for a woman, I'm just like, I thought, like, every woman was funny until I got in high school and I realized they ain't like that. But one of the things I hate so much about, not necessarily about Bernie, but it's like, bro, I know somebody got to have like an hour of his material somewhere. Like, he don't got his own special at all. Like, if you go on YouTube, it's just old videos of like different cities of like Kings of Comedy. And I was like, there's got to be like a special somewhere.
they just waiting to pull it out. It's something out there. They just wait.
But I also loved his show too, because if you watch Kings of Comedy, he begs and like, please give me a show, like America, please give me a show. And in his show, he mentions like America like all the time. And his show was just so, for me, it's like one of the greatest sitcoms ever, because you ain't never seen nobody else beat their kids on TV. Like, and he did that, like, he threatened it like every week. I think that was so dope. Like, he really got a chance to be
got a show based on his material.
Yeah, yeah, that's loved it, man. Dope, loved it. What words of encouragement would you give to any comedian that is listening to this right now?
I would tell them, guys, man, just relationships. Keep working on your craft. Don't have any envious, don't be jealous of no one, and just know that you can make it. You get in what you put out. That's it, that's all. So you put the work in, every comedian will have a chance to stand out. And in the words of Rodney Perry, he said, Chris, everyone will get a chance. When that day will come, we don't know, but we all gonna get a chance to go to the next level. So just keep striving and keep going and don't stop. You will get a chance. Bing, I don't care if you're good or bad. You're going to get a chance if you stay consistent. It's a great comedian out there that does not put the same amount of work in as a comedian that's okay and mediocre. And guess what? If the turtle keeps going, eventually he'll get to the finish line. Might take you 20 years.
I feel like you said this. I feel like you said this to one of your kids before.
Yeah, that, I was talking to my son. Yeah, that's all that was. That's just the father in me. I told my son that he still ain't nothing.
But that is so true, man. There's this dude here. I don't know his name, bro. But I remember the first time I seen him, and every time I would see him, I'd be like, bro, you need to be on the road, dog. But he was like, I just do it for fun. I'm like, nigga, what? Like, you do it for fun? I'm like, nah, bro, you need to be doing this. So I agree with that statement. Well, very well said. Chris, tell people why they should listen to Comedians in Bed.
The reason why you should listen to Comedians in Bed, because we talk about all the real and raw aspects of life and how, what comedians go through. It ain't just about jokes. It's about what really goes on in our lives of comedians. And Ty, you're a dope host, bro. Make sure y'all listen to this, man. And I can you're a fan of Daddy's Issues. So next time I see you log in, I'm gonna shout you out, bro. You know, I'm gonna let Tony know about you, DC Irvin, Chaz, Keon Pauly, everybody that's on there. Craig, I'm gonna shout you out. But man, this is a dope podcast, man. We just get down in there. We talk about the real.
Message.
Everybody wanna talk about the real. We talk about the damn real. We don't give a shit.
Chris, man, I appreciate you, man. I really, really do. I got a Keon coming out here in Nocturne, Ohio, but he coming to Bloomington, Indiana. Month, I think I'm gonna try. It depends on what that rent check looking like, because that's a 3-hour drive.
Do you know Keon? Have you talked to him?
Nah, I talk to him like I be in his comments sometimes, but I don't know like none of y'all like personally. I come out to LA like every year, but like I don't know. I haven't got a chance to meet any of y'all. I did interview Katrina Harris. That's like the closest.
Okay, Katrina, yeah,
Katrina, real cool. Katrina, real cool. Yeah, but every time I come out to LA, man,
holler at me when you come out.
I will, man.
Hit me up now.
Every time I come out to LA, man, I love it, man. It's just, yeah, I wish I was from there, y'all. It's so, I'm from a conservative state, so like, you can feel the conservativeness. Man, when I get to a state that's not conservative, I'm like, man, this is what freedom feel like. All right, I get it. I get it, man. Chris, man, tell people where they can find you at, bro.
Man, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Just type in It's Chris Sneed on all, mostly all the platforms. ITS Chris Sneed. You can go to Daddy Issues Podcast and find me. You go to Chocolate Sundays Instagram page and find me. You can go, you can just find me. Just type in Chris Sneed, man. I'm all over the place. Type in shots, basketball shots. You will.
So, man, make sure you guys follow Chris on everything social, man. If you want to catch next week's episode, we go live at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on my YouTube channel at TYE Comedy. Once again, that's TYE Comedy. Or you can give us a follow on Comedians in Bed Podcast on IG. Once again, man, we'd like to thank Chris for coming on this show. Thank you for giving us your time. If you're in L.A., I know I got a lot of L.A. people out there. Make sure you check out Chris. Tell him you listen to the podcast. Tell him you enjoyed the episode. Chris, man, we appreciate you, man. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, Ty. Thanks for having me, bro.